You're listening to a message from The Gathering. Check us out on Facebook or our website at peopleintheircity.com. Now, prepare your heart for God to speak something powerful into your life.
All right, turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. We're going to keep referring back there throughout this series, and then you can also turn to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs is almost in the middle of your Bible if you were to open it up there, all right? We are continuing our series, but nobody ever talked to me about, we are talking about life topics from a Jesus point of view, topics that our culture isn't talking about anymore. And here's why we are talking about these topics, because God has created you for a purpose. He's created you to live a life of impact and significance, a life of peace, joy, blessings, and harvest where other people get to experience the life of God because he pours it out into and through your life. That's the future he has for you. But if we refuse to address these topics that we're talking about and deal with them the way God tells us to deal with them in his word, then we run the risk of missing out on the life that God has for us. And so Jesus shows us this. I want you to see what he shows us in Mark 4, verse 20. If you got your Bibles open there, watch this. He explains that your ability to live the life of impact and significance depends on how willing you are to live by his word. Okay, watch this. He says, and the seed that fell on good soil, or you could say the word of God that was heard by people with soft, open hearts. Okay, that represents those who hear and accept God's word. They choose to live by it. And watch what they do when they choose to live by it. They, Jesus tells us this, they produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. Come on, who wants a life of harvest? Come on, where the word of God and all of its life and his blessings gets multiplied in and through you so that many other people around you can receive those things from God because he pours it out in and through you. People that choose to live by God's word, they leave their old way of living behind. They leave their old decisions, their old choices behind. They begin to receive new life. Church, you can leave your past in the dust. You don't have to remain in disappointment and discouragement and pain, anxiety, and regret. You can live the life that God has for you if you will open up your heart and make the choice to live by what God says. And so, friends, today's topic is huge. It's hard to express just how important this topic is for all of our lives, including me, if we're going to have any chance of living the life that God has for us. Are you ready for this? Okay, here's what we're talking about today. Nobody ever talked to me about my choice of words. Nobody ever talked to me about my choice of words. Here's what I mean by that. There's a number of ways we could say this. The kind of language I use, the way I talk to other people, the way I talk about other people. You following me? The way I treat myself and the way I treat others with the words that I say. Now, okay, did nobody ever truly talk to you about the way that you talk to other people? Come on, we've all had somebody in our lives at some point talk to us. Have you ever been a little kid? Come on, you've had mom or dad or a coach or a teacher or even that librarian. Shh. Right? We've had people talk to us about the way that we talk, and we can prove it right now. Come on, by show of hands, how many of you guys ever had your mouth washed out with soap? Nearly everyone. If you didn't, how many of you were at least threatened with it? Come on, almost everybody, right? You did not want to cross the line with your words in the Eck House when I was growing up. If you did, there was a well-worn bar of lava soap. You guys remember that? Just waiting for you in the bathroom, all right? Okay, but if you never got your mouth washed out with soap, how many of you at least got spankings or timeouts or you were grounded for the things that you said, right? We all did, okay? But here's why I say nobody ever talked to us about it, though. Because think about it. Almost every human ever has been disciplined for the way they talked when they were kids, But in our culture today, there now comes a point as we all grow up where filthy language, where gossip, where inappropriate and even hurtful jokes and insults are not only accepted, they're actually expected, celebrated, and used regularly by roughly anyone between the ages of 12 to 100. Come on, am I right? This has become the cultural norm for us. And look, you know this, okay? Everything we're going to talk about today is with much grace, but listen, you know this. We all tell kids, hey, don't cuss, don't say bad words, don't say mean things to and about other people. But then we all cuss, we say bad words, and we say mean things to and about other people. Something just happens when we grow up. We just give up on this thing these days. Okay, I'll never forget when I was about 8 years old and I heard my grandpa cuss for the very first time. I'm not kidding, church. It messed me up. It confused me. Okay, because I had been largely shielded from that kind of thing for a good chunk of my early childhood. Okay, I grew up in Newton Religious, Kansas, where we went to church every Sunday and everybody was a Christian as far as I knew. Come on, somebody. Anybody else grow up in that? And so listen, when I heard my grandpa cuss, here's what actually began to happen. His choice of words actually caused me to begin to question his character. His choice of words also caused me to begin to lose some of my innocence. It wasn't long after that I began paying attention to what people were really saying on television. It wasn't long after that I began to listen closely to what people were really talking about in songs on the radio. It wasn't long after that some of my friends started using filthy language and they would make fun of each other in the worst kinds of ways. And so I joined right in. Even though I think we all knew how much we hated the way it made us feel. But church, that's the accepted cultural norm these days. And so here's why we need to talk about it, because people don't realize that we are killing ourselves and we're killing other people with the words that we use. If you've got your Bibles open to Proverbs 18, I'm going to show you verse 21. Look, I'll prove it to you. Watch this, okay? Proverbs 18, verse 21. Watch what it says. The tongue can bring death. You see that? The tongue can bring death or life. And then this is amazing too. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Come on, do you see this? Listen to me. Words are powerful. And here's what God is saying to us through his word. He's saying there are consequences for the words that we use. And the consequences, or the other translations actually say it this way, the fruit of our words, the fruit or the results of the things that we say, is that other people will either experience more life through the things that we say to them, or they'll experience more death through the things that we say to them. Church, we'll actually participate in killing other people with the words that we use. I didn't tell you to turn here, but I'm going to read from James chapter 3, okay? And this is James, Jesus' brother, and he says something similar, but he says it very bluntly, okay? Watch this. James 3, 5 through 8, he says, "But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire." I want you to see that. He's showing us a picture. Something really small is capable of causing large catastrophes. Okay, and watch this. So he says, "And among all the parts of the body, the tongue," which is a small part of the body, by the way, "the tongue is a flame of fire." It's not even just a spark. It's a flame of fire. "It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire. For," watch this, "it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish." I notice he didn't put beagles on his list. We're trying to tame one of those in the Eck House. But watch this. "But no one, no one, humanly speaking, no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Don't you just feel so good about yourself right now? Welcome to church. Okay, listen. There's the power of life and death in the tongue, in the way that you and I talk to each other and talk to other people. And yeah, James really, really, really stresses the death part right here. Listen, he says our tongues are wicked. They're restless. They're full of evil. He says that your words can set your whole life on fire because, get this, he says that our tongues are set on fire by hell itself. Okay, well, let me just break that down real quick. You and I are born sinners. Okay, you know that, right? We are born spiritually dead, and so we live spiritually dead lives on the path to where spiritually dead things go, which is hell. Okay, and if you don't believe me, just think back. Some of you guys have little kids, or some of you guys had little kids at some point. Just think back to when they were about 2 years old and just learning to talk, and they came up to you unprompted by anything, and they called you a doo-doo head. Come on, that's not learned behavior, is it? We are born sinners. They're little sinners. We are born sinners. We're born spiritually dead, heading to hell. And so we naturally live like it and talk like it right here on earth until the day comes where we either end up there or until the day comes where we supernaturally get born again through the life of Jesus. But listen to me, even after we get born again or even after we're saved, our tongues still hold the power to give life or to give death to other people. We can still use our words for evil. I don't know, believe it or not, I've actually heard some church people say some pretty nasty things over the years. You have too, haven't you? Listen, we not only need to be saved, we need to be healed, we need to be set free. I'm going to use an old school church word. We need deliverance. We need deliverance from our former selves, from the way that we've lived and the way that we've talked. We need God's help each and every day. And here's what James tells us, though. He says, apart from God's help, you and I will never be able to control the way we talk on our own. We can't tame our speech by ourselves. And come on, I think we all know that by now from personal experience, don't we? And I don't care how long you've been showing up in church or how long you tell me you love Jesus. Come on, we all have things that come out of our mouths on a regular basis that we regret. Is that right? Church, I can be the worst sometimes. I'm just being honest. Like, there are times, often, unintentionally, I'll say things that I immediately regret or I regret later when I realize what I actually said and how it's hurt other people. And there are times, often, more often than I'd like, that I intentionally say things that I immediately regret or regret later when I realize what I've done and how I've hurt other people. There is life and there's death in the tongue, and there are consequences for our words. And I don't think you have to be a Bible scholar to understand what that means. Again, I think we all know from personal experience. Listen, will somebody instantly drop dead if you insult them bad enough? Okay, probably not going to happen, right? And let's not try to find out either. Yeah? However, listen to me. You and I are very capable of being the cause of someone's slow, miserable, agonizing, painful death over time simply by the words we say to them. Follow me here for a moment, okay? Let me just explain this. And let's listen, let's just leave cussing and some of that perverse language. Let's just leave that aside for just a moment. We'll come back to that stuff. But let's just set that aside for a moment. And so I don't know if you ever thought about this, but I really felt like the Lord showed me this past week. Okay, listen, most of the hurtful things we say to and about other people, okay, most of the hurtful things we say are rooted in exaggerations and half-truths. I'm gonna say that one more time. Most of the hurtful things we say are rooted in exaggerations and half-truths. For example, think about when you gossip about somebody. Okay, usually when you gossip about somebody, you're trying to convince someone else that somebody has done something wrong or that they're not to be trusted for some reason or another. You name it, okay? And so when you gossip, come on somebody, when you gossip, you embellish the truth, you make up extra facts, and you exaggerate what really happened. Is that right? Because you're trying to convince this other person that this thing has taken place. Come on, is this what happens? Nod your head yes, because I know you've done it and I have too. Or take insults, for example. Listen, and let's just keep it PG. All right, but let's put ourselves back in school for those of us that are older. Let's say we just took a test in class and somebody in our class failed the math test, and so we want to make ourselves look good, so we go to make fun of this person, and we might just say something as simple as, you're stupid. Watch this. You will never be smart enough to pass this class. Okay, can you see the exaggeration in that? Okay, can you see that? And who says that's true? And who made you the authority of what this person is actually capable of, right? Now, and I know you might say, well, it's just a joke. We're just joking around. Okay, I understand, but it was still spoken. But you still said it. Church, are you seeing this? Listen, again, let me just point this out. Most hurtful words are rooted in exaggerations and half-truths, or I'm just going to be really plain, most of the hurtful things we say are lies. And come on, let me just give you a reminder of how powerful words can be. Think about this. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth and everything in them, including life, when he created all that, he didn't just wave his hand to bring it all into existence, did he? No, what'd he do? He spoke everything into existence. I want you to see this. He spoke life into existence. And yet, all it took was one lie spoken by Satan to Adam and Eve for mankind to sin and for death to take hold. Are you seeing this? Our words are powerful. And listen, in most cases, our hurtful words, our gossip, the mean things we say to and about each other, they're just lies we speak that are rooted in the pit of hell, and they have the capability of causing death. And so you might think that calling somebody stupid isn't that big of a deal. Well, listen, you forget how impactful that can actually be when you're younger. Listen, I know we can all relate to this right here. I've got two young boys, and they have come home from school, each of them, on more than one occasion, and they have said something like this to me or Rachel. They've said, so-and-so called me stupid today at school. And catch this. They've said, but that's not true, is it? Come on, do you see that? Not only was it hurtful, but do you see what they're having to do? They're having to wrestle with the lie that they've been told. They want to know this thing that I've been told isn't true, is it? They don't want to have to believe it. And so you better believe that as mom and dad, as the authority over their lives, we step in and we speak truth. You may not think this is a big deal, but parents, I'm telling you it is. We step in and we speak the truth over them and we tell them, no, you're not stupid. That's not true. You don't have to listen to that garbage. Here's the truth. You're smart. You're amazing. You're our son and we love you no matter what. Let me drive this point home just a little further. I've got a very close friend. And he was the youngest child born into his family. And like a lot of the youngest children in their families, he came as a surprise to his parents. Unfortunately, though, his dad was not a very nice man. And so his dad let him know on a regular basis just how much of an unwanted surprise he was. I'm not kidding. His dad would say to him often, son, I wish you'd have never been born. What is a little kid supposed to do with that? What are you supposed to do with that when the person who is supposed to love you, the person who is supposed to encourage you, the person who's supposed to bless you and speak life over you and be your loving authority figure, what are you supposed to do when they tell you, my life would be better off without you? Come on, church, that's evil. And can you see how much death that can cause? And so my friend had to wrestle with this lie, and there were times in his life where he gave in from time to time, and he would believe it, and so he'd begin to live according to this evil thing as if it were true. It wreaked havoc in his life for quite some time. And listen, it would show up in the choices that he made. He was dying a slow, painful, agonizing, miserable death because of these things that were said to him. Until one day, by God's grace, God saved his life. He was born again. And through life in Jesus, he began to discover the truth. Okay, here's the truth he began to discover, that it ultimately didn't matter what his earthly dad had wished for. All that really mattered was what God the Father had wished for, and God wished that he would be born, so God made it happen. God made the decision from eternity past. I've got a purpose in mind for this kid right here. I'm going to make this kid be born, and then I'm going to make a way for him to be born again so he can have life. That's what my friend has begun to experience. And here's what's so beautiful. It hasn't always been easy, but my friend has continued to receive the truth from God. He's been encouraged. He's been blessed. He's even been able to forgive his dad. And now he knows how to honor his father. And so he hasn't remained stuck in the past or stuck in that pain. He's now living the life of impact and significance to this day. And so listen, because I know that there are people in here that have heard similar things like that from their parents. I know that there are people in here that have been impacted by people with the words that they have spoken to you. I know there are people in here that have been called worthless. There are people in here that have been told, you'll never amount to anything. Some of you have been told that you aren't lovable. Some of you have been cussed at and screamed at and gossiped about, and it's caused some death on the inside. I want you to hear what I'm saying this morning. If you will open your heart and begin to receive what God says about you, it can change everything. Listen to me. Those words that have been spoken over you, they don't stand a chance against the truth that God will speak over your life. You are loved. You are priceless. You are wanted. You're not an accident. It's no accident that you're here. You weren't a surprise to God. He planned you from eternity past. He's got a purpose for you. No one else is like you. No one else can fulfill the purpose that God has for you in the unique way that you can fulfill it. And with the authority that God has given me, I just reject all that garbage and that junk that's been spoken over your life. You're amazing. You're a one of a kind. I'm telling you, you are wanted. You belong here. You belong to God. He loves you. This family loves you right here. We even like you. And Jesus does too. That's the truth. And so, church, our words have the power of life and death. And James tells us, though, that no one can tame their tongue or control their words on their own. And so here's the good news, because maybe you're in here, and I hope the Holy Spirit's talking to us this morning. I know he is. But maybe you're in here and you're feeling convicted for the way that you've talked. Maybe we're feeling some conviction for the things that we've said. Listen, with so much grace, maybe that filthy language is just our way of life. Maybe it's habitual at this point. Okay, maybe retaliation with our words is all we've ever known. I've got some good news this morning. You don't have to stay that way. Everything can change. Here's more good news. You don't have to try to change on your own. God will help you. He has grace for you to change. Listen to me. We have a choice. We get to be the difference for other people that somebody wasn't for us. We can speak life. We can choose life for others. We can choose life for ourselves and life for others. We can speak life into our world. Get this. You can begin to speak life to others, and as you do, you can speak life into your own world. Now, I want to say something real quick. As I say that, I want to clarify. We don't have the power that God has to be able to speak and create life. You guys know that, right? We don't have that power. We can't create life with our words. I know because I've tried. We used to live in Las Vegas in the desert where it was not uncommon for July temperatures to be 117. I went out into my backyard one time and I said, let there be swimming pool. And it didn't happen, right? So you and I can't create life with the words that we say like God can. But listen to me, you can most definitely till up some dry ground. You can most definitely plant some seeds of life. You can water the life that's starting to bud in others. You can give nutrients to the soil. You can be the light that other people need. You can produce a harvest. And here's how: with the words that you speak, by the godly words that you speak to other people. Culture says we should all cuss. We should use filthy language. We should talk dirty, tell perverse jokes, cuss at each other, gossip about each other, tear each other apart. But I'm telling you, you don't have to live that way. And as Jesus followers, we're commanded to not live that way. And as Jesus followers, we get to step into our world and we can speak life and you can produce a harvest as a result. Maybe you say, well, all my coworkers talk that way. They already do. It's not a big deal if I do too then. They're all used to it. We can all take it. Our feelings aren't getting hurt. Listen to me. I want you to hear this real quick, okay? I know most of the world talks that way. I know most of your coworkers probably talk that way. And real quick, the only reason we think we can all take it and we think that it's not hurting our feelings is because we've all done it enough already to where we've stolen a whole bunch of each other's innocence and we've become hardened to these things. But it doesn't mean it's not still causing death. And even if you're not directly being mean to someone, again, with grace, but if you're cussing, if you're telling dirty jokes, if you're using perverse language, then listen to me. That stuff's all just designed to desensitize you. It's designed to normalize those perverse things for you so that more of your innocence can get stolen so that you'll eventually end up doing the perverse things you once only joked about. Are you seeing that? Listen, it's all just a part of a great lie that Satan has designed to kill you. You have a choice, though. You may work around other people that talk that way. Your family may talk that way, but it doesn't mean you have to participate in it. And listen, this applies to texting and Facebook and all that other stuff too. Right? Don't just think, well, I can text so-and-so blankety blank because this isn't being spoken out loud. Don't try and find the loophole. I know some of you. All right? This applies to all of our communication, right? You can be the difference. You can be the difference. You can speak life into people and the world around you. And by doing so, you can find yourself living the life of impact and significance in the process. Think about it. If you start speaking life to your kids and to your family and to your friends and to your coworkers, who are they going to come to in their time of need? Are they going to go to the people who spoke death to them? Or are they going to come to you? If you will start speaking life to the world around you, to the people all around you in your everyday life, who are they going to say had an impact on them? The people who spoke death to them or you? I'm telling you, they'll come running to you. You'll have people down the line that will say, man, he had an impact on my life. She changed my life because of the way you spoke to them. Because you know how to encourage and give life when they were in need. Friends, we get to make a choice. We get to make a choice. We can't do it on our own. We can't change the way we talk without God's help. We need his help. I've got three really quick points on how we can receive his help. Here's number one. We must repent. We must change our ways. Come on, is God talking to us this morning? Again, with grace. Maybe we're in here and we're struggling with the way we talk. Listen, this is step number one. We repent. We've got to recognize the words that we're using for what they are. We've got to recognize the way we're talking to other people for what it is. We've got to acknowledge the truth that God's right and we're wrong. And so we go to God and we ask Him for His forgiveness. And perhaps some of us need to go to some of those other people we've been talking to and ask for their forgiveness as well. We say, I'm not going to live this way anymore. God, I want your forgiveness and I want to change. My pastor used to say it like this all the time. He'd say, we got to get aggressive with our sin. We got to want to change. And so we've got to want to take the actions that will lead us to change. We've got to want to become more like Jesus. So we've got to want to do things His way from here on out. We've got to make the choice to stay close to Him so that we can experience His help and His grace in our lives. And so how do you do that? How do you get aggressive? How do you stay close to Jesus in the process? Here's number two. We need each other. We need each other. James already told us we're not going to be able to win this battle on our own, and God doesn't expect you to either. Listen, we need each other. We're better together, and Jesus keeps showing up in our midst. We need accountability from each other. We need to encourage each other as well. Discipleship is a team sport. Church, I mess up. I have not arrived. And I can get very discouraged about the decisions that I've made. I can beat myself up over my sin with the best of them. I need the church. I need God's people in real time every day. I need the encouragement. I need the words spoken to me. I need some other people reminding me, Brandon, God's got you. You don't have to stay stuck. You can stick with Jesus, Brandon. There's more life ahead with Jesus on the journey. Keep going. Church, you need all that too. We all need that. We need each other. We need each other right here every Sunday and plenty of times in between. Let me just remind you, listen, our neighborhood gatherings, those are our small groups, those are designed to surround you with those relationships that you need so that you don't have to try and do church and do life alone. So I'm telling you, Connect is happening again in August. Sign up if you are not yet in a neighborhood gathering. Show up with us this Wednesday night. Get a taste of what neighborhood gathering is like at the cookout. We want everybody plugged in and playing their part here in this church family. We need each other. Here's number three. We need God's word. We need His words. We need His truth. We need what God says. We need the truth spoken over us and into us each and every day. Church, you need the one who really does have the power to create life with His words, to speak into your life each and every day. You need His word. Family, I make terrible choices with my words from time to time, but I want you to hear me. It's gotten a whole lot better than it used to be. You don't even want to know Brandon from 10 years ago. I'm telling you, God has been transforming my life. He's been changing my life. I really do want to become more like Jesus, and so I'm striving after Him. And listen, perhaps above all the choices I've made, this choice right here has perhaps had the biggest impact on my life when I committed, God, I'm going to spend time in your word each and every day. I'm going to spend time talking to you and listening to you and reading your word each and every day. Perhaps that decision above all else has had the biggest impact on my life, has helped me to change. God speaks to me. He will speak to you too. He'll speak to you right here and right here. He'll change your mind. He'll get you to see things from His perspective. He'll change the way you think. He'll change what you believe. Watch this. One more scripture. Romans 12, verse 2. Paul writes, he says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Everybody that you work with is talking this way. Culture's doing it all day long. They celebrate it. Doesn't mean you have to. God's saying, don't copy that behavior. Don't copy those customs, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think, by getting his word inside of your life. And watch this. Then, I want you to see that. Then you will learn to know God's will for you. You'll begin to know what he wants, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Here's what we just read. Don't live like everyone else in culture around you, but commit yourself to God's word. And he says that he will transform you into a new person. And as he does, you will begin to know what he has wanted for you since eternity past. You'll begin to know his perfect, his pleasing will, his desires, what he wishes for you, that plan, that life of significance and impact that he has for you. And as you begin to understand that, you will begin to live it. You can have the peace, the joy, the blessings, and the harvest. Come on, you can have it all. Church family, your life can change. Your world around you can change. Get this, it can all be reborn. All of it can. Your kids, listen, your kids and my kids can grow up hearing, they can hear the truth, and then therefore know the truth, and therefore they can speak the truth to the world around them. This thing can multiply. And we don't even have to wait for their generation. Come on, we can speak life into our worlds today. This thing can multiply. There can be a harvest. I'm convinced there will be. I believe we will see this city reborn. And you can be the difference. With God's help, you can be the difference. Will you choose life? Will you choose it with the words that you use? I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Let's pray together. Come on, what's the Holy Spirit saying to you today? What's he saying to you right now? And I know there is grace in this place. This is not a place of condemnation. He's not speaking to you from a place of condemnation. Maybe you have been struggling big time with your words, the language you use, the way you've talked to and treated other people. There is grace not only for your past. Yesterday ended at midnight. There's grace for that, and there's grace so that you can change. You don't have to stay there, church family. Come on, what's he saying to you? Does something need to change? So I would invite you, come on, let's do step number one. Let's repent. Let's do it right now. Let's ask God to forgive us for the way we've talked to and about other people, for the language that we used, for the ways, listen, me too, me included, for the ways I have killed people over the years with the words that I have spoken. We need to repent. God, forgive us. God, your ways are best. Everything that you have in mind is right. Forgive us, Lord, for how we've talked to other people. Forgive us for the things we've said. Forgive us for the ways that we've killed other people. Lord, we want to change. Help us. Come on, if you want to change and you need that help, just to ask him right now. Tell him, God, I want your help. Change me. What if we commit, church family? Come on, we need each other. What if you commit right now? A church family is going to be a priority moving forward. Showing up with his people in his presence is going to be a priority. That being a part of a neighborhood gathering really is a big deal. And what if we commit to his word this morning? Do you need to make a commitment to God's word? Maybe it's been weeks or months, or I don't know how long it's been since you've actually spent personal alone time in the Word of God, real time. Come on, do you need to commit to change? Do you need to make that a priority in your life? I'm telling you, you make that commitment and it will transform your life. Then you will know God's perfect, pleasing, good will for you. I'm telling you, there is life there is impact, there is significance, there's peace, joy, blessings, and harvest on the other side of that commitment. Do you need to make it today? God, I pray for all of us in here that we would commit, that we'd be a people of your word. And I pray, Lord, some of us are going to need help tomorrow. We're committing right now, but we're going to need help tomorrow to follow through. So I pray, would you meet us? Would you call our name? Would you even, yes, Lord, convict us and draw us close to your heart? And I pray the same the day after that. Help us start some new habits, God. We want to be more like you, Jesus. We want what you have in mind for us. If that's true, church, tell him this morning, Jesus, I want to be more like you. And so we're striving after you. We say, have your way. Use us, God. Let us be light in this city. Let this ground get tilled up. Let there be a harvest in the name of Jesus. We want to see this city reborn. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. And my whole family said, amen.
Thanks for joining us today. Please know you're always welcome to worship with us on Sunday mornings. Also, if you would like to give to our ministry, you can go to our website at apeopleinthercity.com. We hope to see you soon, and God bless.